We need to have our city council candidates up to the front first as we make the transition on the run tonight. I don't think we'll take a break until maybe at the halfway point when we transition MCs. Again, we're in the Friends Room at the Columbia Public Library, and what we're going to move to now is to talk to the council members in a contested race. City Council has 7 members, as you probably know, 6 representatives of wards, 1 is the mayor. Each council member serves a 3-year staggered term. Each year, 2 ward seats are up for election, and every 3rd year, the mayor is up for election. This year, there are races for wards 2 and 6. Betsy Peters is running unopposed in ward 6, so she is not included in the forum tonight. Ward 2 candidates are Michael Trapp and Paul Love. Each candidate is going to have 2 minutes for an opening statement. Then the timers will give them a 30-minute warning, so watch for the stop signs and the yield sign. And when the red sign is held up, they will come and attack you if you're not done yet. The candidate's time is up after the stop sign is raised. Candidates will speak in the order in which their name appears on the April 3rd ballot for their opening statements. And then after that, we will have questions that will be available either through the League of Women Voters have some questions, I have some questions, and I know the audience will have some questions. So we start with Mike Trapp's first opening statement.
First, I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. I want to thank the League for all the great work that they do, and especially for holding these kinds of events. It's hard to draw a lot of attention to a local race, and this is a great thing. KFRU for hosting us. I have been blessed to be the Second Ward City Council representative for the last 6 years, and it's been my great honor to serve, and I believe that I have served well. I've been a leader on energy efficiency standards, on tripling the amount of our electricity that's provided by renewable means. I was the co-chair of the mayor's task force on community violence and have helped move forward with community policing initiatives. And I have been an engaged and thoughtful policymaker on the wide variety of issues that fall under the city mandate. But when you listen to my opponent, that's not the story that you're going to hear. What I've heard from him at other forums and through the media is that Columbia City Hall is a modern day Tammany Hall, and that there's pay to play and there's conflict of interest. And so I want to address those things right up front. I did not have a conflict of interest for the Broadway TIF vote. I work in social services, and I had worked in social services when I was elected. I was a counselor and then executive director at Phoenix Health Programs. The city rightfully has a large footprint in social services, and Columbia is a small town, so there's what's required is transparency. And nothing has changed. I did leave Phoenix Programs and begin my own business. I have a contract with the Downtown Community Improvement District doing important work with folks who are homeless or engaged in panhandling, helping, coaching them, and leading them into better lives. I achieved that contract with being the lowest and the best bidder. And just because I work for the downtown doesn't mean that I need to recuse myself from every vote that involves the downtown.
Thank you. And now, Paul Love, your opening statement, please.
Hi. I'd like to thank you all for having us out here this evening. And Mike is right. The reason that I'm running is, by and large, I find him to be unethical. I find him to be a poor steward of my money. And frankly, the entire time he's been there, public safety has gone downhill. If you look at it, we're up to 90% of the people in the second ward consider public safety a top item. During this time, Mike has cut money for training. He's cut pay to the officers. He's cut pay for safety and security equipment. The officers are unsurprisingly disappointed with him. The firemen also are disappointed with him. All of the safety services in Columbia have endorsed my campaign after having speaking with me. Mike is correct. I do believe he has an ethical conflict. He signed a $25,000 contract about a month before he voted to give $2 million in a TIF to the hotel downtown. He works for the district, whose job is to promote businesses and expansion downtown. You might be surprised to find out the hotel is, in fact, a business downtown. You will also find out that the owner of that hotel sits on the board that gave Mike the job. It's not illegal for Mike to have taken the job. It was unethical for him to have voted on it after having taken the job. That's kind of the large inside of it there. The question is, do you want to take the pay-to-play option? If you do, Mike's an excellent choice for that. If you'd like public safety, Mike's had a poor record of public safety. The only time Mike really pushes for public safety is right about now when the election's going on. If you have any question, I ask you to reach out to the people who are there. There have been 6 shots fired on the corner of my lot. The house catty corner to the back of mine had four bullets go through it. One of them came within 3 feet of the head of my neighbor. Okay, so these are the reasons I consider public safety to be important. Thank you very much.
Let's go to a question that was handed to me early before we got started today, and it is for both of you. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being a politician and 10 being a statesman, how would you rate yourself on that scale and why? We'll start with Michael Trapp.
That's an interesting question. I don't know about a numerical ranking, but I think I'm more of a statesman than a politician. I have been ruthlessly independent. I ran my first race saying that I wasn't going to team up, that I was going to take each issue as it came, that I was going to meet with stakeholders, I was going to read all the information, and I was going to make the best decision for the long-term interest of Columbia, regardless of political consequences. For those who supported my first race, you know that I was not beholden to my donors, that I have lived up to that promise, and I have been a rare centrist, moderate in a political landscape that grows increasingly extreme on both ends. I am much more interested in serving well than continuing to serve.
We have 60 seconds for these answers as we go through these questions. Paul, love your answer to the question. Rate yourself on a scale from politician to statesman.
Well, it's pretty clear that I'm not much of a politician. I pretty much tell you exactly what I think. I'm not going to promise you things that I can't afford. I'm not going to promise you things that you can't afford. It's very important that we take the money that we have and spend it well. It's not about pandering to small groups. It's not about getting benefits from someone else. This is about providing the best things that we can for Columbia with the money that we have.
And Paul Levy will be first on this one. By the way, if you have questions for these candidates, you need to wave your index card so that we could get them up here, and people who will help us do that generally from the League of Women Voters. This question, describe Ward 2 for us, please. Define Ward 2. What's it like? Paul Levy, you first.
So just to give you some general geographic boundaries, Ward 2 is by and large everything north of I-70, west of Oakland Gravel. There's a little extra part down here, basically west of the mall, all the way to the edge of the city. For the most part, it's a working-class neighborhood. I bought my house there right around the year 2000, paid it off last year. When I moved in, the people who, all the houses that surrounded me were either the original homeowners or the children of the homeowners. It's a family neighborhood. It's one of the few affordable neighborhoods in Columbia for people looking for first-time homes.
Mike Trapp, your description of Ward 2.
The Ward 2 is a ward made up almost entirely of neighborhoods. There's Parkade, where both Paul and I live. There's Auburn Hills. There's Derby Ridge. There's Valley View and the surrounding neighborhoods. All of them have their own needs and characteristics. There's smaller homes. They're starter homes, so we have a lot of young families. Our schools are less preferred than some of the other schools, so we have a phenomenon of folks buying their first house in the second ward, and when they get ready to get their kids moved to school age, they will buy a bigger house in another part of town. That means that we have less political engagement. Our ward has been described as apathetic. That's not the case. Our folks are engaged in their life tasks. And the second ward representative always has to remember that it's not just the folks who show up that matter, but it's the folks who are home raising their kids and working hard, that their interests have to be represented at city council as well.
So Mike Trapp, we'll start with this one. The reason I asked for the definition of Ward 2 is this is a related question. On behalf of those Ward 2 constituents, what new ideas would you like to bring to the council for the next term for that ward?
The biggest complaint that I hear from folks in the second ward specifically are a lack of neighborhood serving businesses. It costs about the same to develop in the southern part of the city as it does in the north, because land cost is only about 20% of a development, but you can command much larger rents in the south. So when you think about where all the new restaurants and the great places to shop are open, they're not in the second ward. So I believe that we have to study this issue. We have to look at what we can do to incent, what kind of zoning classifications do we need to look at to make sure that we have restaurants and neighborhoods serving businesses on the north side as well as on the south side.
Paul Love, your answer to the question. On behalf of Ward 2 constituents, what new ideas would you like to bring to the council for them?
It's not so much a new idea. It's called public safety. One of the things that everybody in my ward is concerned about is public safety, and we feel less safe as the years have gone on under Mike's leadership. It's a real problem. We're down on officers, and a lot of the officers do not pass through our area. I'd like to bring us up to a larger number of police officers. I'd like to invest in that. I'm tired of being people who tell me that they're afraid to walk at night in my neighborhood. I'm tired of bullets being fired in my neighborhood. 6 shots fired on the corner of my lot, 27 shots fired on the corner of Texas and Garth, 57 shots fired in a running gun battle. We live in a nice neighborhood. We do not have to tolerate this kind of behavior in our neighborhood.
Let's talk about public safety then. So what would you do to increase the public safety? How would you improve that? How would you get to where you would want to be in regard to public safety? And Paul Love, you're first on this one.
Certainly. The first thing that you're going to have to do with public safety is you're going to have to increase numbers. There's a bit of a difference. The firemen have a high morale. We can hire them directly. The policemen are a different case. Based on some of the actions Mike has taken, the morale is shattered. 80% of them consider it to be a toxic work environment. 68% of them are looking. More than 30% of them have been there less than 2 years. We need to work on morale. So part of that is going to be things that we can do. We can't let our city manager go out and protest them. We have to give them a raise occasionally. You may not realize this. Most people who work in the public department of the city get very few raises. Anybody who starts in the city right now has had their best life on their first day, because since we don't give them even cost of living raises, their standard of living falls the whole time. I don't have an answer to get. Check the website. I'll tell you how to get the money for the cops at that point.
All right, Mike Trapp, the question to you, how do you get what you need in regard to policing or public safety in Columbia?
Sure. First, let me correct the record. Since I've been on council, we've added 20 new police officer positions. I inherited an understaffed police department. I have kept up with growth by adding police officers, but because of the tremendous growth of the city, that's left us treading water. We're in desperate need of a new funding source so that we can give all of our city staff raises and that we can address our unmet public safety challenges. Certainly a property tax would be the most stable form of revenue. That's a heavy lift. I think we have to bring the community together. We need a unified council and mayor, and we need the support of the police union, and we need racial justice activists, all of us working together to bring the resources that we need to have community policing. Right now, our police officers go from call to call and don't have the discretionary time. There are some things we can do about attitudinal approaches, but we really need more officers so they have the discretionary time to do those proactive relationship building, and we're going to need a new funding source if we're going to add large numbers of police officers.
Mike Trapp, you have the answer to this one first. Evaluate how well you believe the city manager is doing in his job.
Overall, I believe the city manager is doing well. We've had a balanced budget. The budgets are roughly the same size as they were 6 years. Was hired in the economic downturn, and with internet sales, we've seen the erosion of our sales tax dependent city. We've managed all of those things pretty gracefully. He did the 2012 pension reforms that helped us address our unfunded pension liability. We didn't have a strategic plan before we hired Mike Mathis. The second strategic plan that we did brought social equity to the forefront of what we're doing. We identified 3 focus areas based on a vulnerability index of poverty and crime statistics, and we've made serious progress in those areas. We've cut the African-American unemployment rate in half. There's been a lot of successes under Mike Mathis. I know it's easy to criticize those at the top, but I think he's done well.
Paul Love, same question.
I'll tell you, most of the people who are in our public safety department blaming the city manager and the council for those issues. I think that the city council should be giving the city manager more direction. They don't. He basically runs the city. Watch the city council meetings. It's kind of disappointing. I think that if we had a city council that gave more direction to the city manager, we'd have a more efficient government. He's doing an amazing job of amassing money. You'll find that the city is required to maintain a 20% balance as part of the fund from the general fund. Last year, we were at 29%, half again as much in terms of our reserve. This year at 43%, more than twice the required reserve. You hear this question about the Swiss bank account that we maintain. From 2007 to 2017, we raised an average of, that balance went up an average of $10 million a year. We went up from $217 million to $317 million. If our goal is to keep amassing money in a bank account, we're doing an excellent job.
Let's talk about another part of this city. Let's talk about trails and parks. And Paul Love, you're first on this. Where do trails and parks fit into your list of priorities?
Personally, I enjoy them quite a bit. I use our trails to bike to work 3 or 4 days a week when the weather's nice during the summer. It's part of what gives Columbia its character. The problem is we've renewed the parks tax that requires capital purchase year after year. It was originally supposed to be a one-year thing that was going to allow us to purchase Stevens Lake Park. What that means is that every year we add between $3 and $5 million worth of new parks because that's what we have to spend it on. We're reaching the point that the number of parks we have is starting to seriously burden our city budget.
I'm going to ask a follow-up question to that, and then Michael Trapp, you'll get both of these also. Would you ever foresee telling the city or advising the city to sell off parks to pay for public safety?
Probably not to sell off the parks we've got, although, to be fair, we do have 1,300 acres in the parks. That's more than 2 square miles. That's all land that is not paying taxes in the city. If you want to know where that hurts our city finance, every time we buy that stuff, we get less tax money. Look at that lot that was on the corner of Broadway and Providence. That could have been a business, but we drove them out. Instead, it's a park where the homeless are going to live. Mike should be able to interview them while they're there. They're more convenient that way.
Mike Trapp, on the list of priorities that you have, where do you put trails and parks?
Parks are an important investment for a growing city. The city of the future is going to be grateful that we had the forethought to lock as much land up into green space into perpetuity as we have. Our parks are part of our amazing quality of life. I've been beat up for how much it costs to live in Columbia. People say we're the most expensive city in the state. We're at 93% of national affordability. If this bottle of water costs a dollar in average America, it costs 93 cents in Columbia. It costs 90 cents in the state of Missouri. I believe that extra 3 cents is worth it for the amazing cultural amenities and our parks and our green spaces. It's why I moved to Columbia. It's why IBM came to Columbia. It's an economic driver. It adds to our quality of life. It adds to our health. It protects the natural environment. It is great for stormwater management. Most of the 100 parks that Paul mentioned are small neighborhood parks, many of which are donated to us because they're land that's not suitable for development. It could be developed with a lot of infill, which would add to our stormwater quality issues. Parks are an important asset. We need to manage those. And I'm sorry, what was the second part?
My follow-up would be, would you ever foresee saying we should sell off parks to pay for public safety?
No, we shouldn't. Our parks are an amazing asset. I think there is, the parks renewal was approved by over 60% of the voters. That is, the significant will of the vast majority of the people supports parks, supports those kinds of investments, and we should support them as the leadership of the city as well. I believe that we can have parks and public safety. I believe that we can fund all of our priorities. I don't think that we need to, sell off some of our most important assets, and I'm not sure that that's even kind of a legal maneuver. I think when land gets locked up into parks, people donate to the parks because they know that that land is going to be there into perpetuity, and when we have potential leadership who open the door to that possible sell, it's going to be a disincentive for people to donate their cherished possessions for us to use and trust for all of our benefit.
Start with Mike Trapp on this one, and we're getting short on time, but I'm curious as to what was good and bad about how the city handled whether to go forward with a sports facility at Phillips or at the Central Missouri Events Center.
I think it was when a significant opportunity comes and your operational environment changes, I think it's appropriate to pause and to consider. I mean, I think the chance to have the money that the parks tax set aside for a 4-court field house, to have a 12-court field house in partnership with the county and a nonprofit was an amazing opportunity that we needed to pursue. Unfortunately, we weren't able to negotiate that solution. And so at the next council meeting, we'll be voting to appropriate the funds to move forward with the original plan. Now, that did cause some heartburn for some folks on the south side of town. Our parks are heavily balanced towards the north, but there's not much else that is. And we have great parks in the north, and I can understand wanting to have those facilities. We do need a regional park in the south, but I could have lived with that opportunity of having 3 times of the impact for our local sports opportunities and as well as being an economic driver to host sports tourism. But unfortunately, that wasn't possible.
Paul Love, what was good and bad about how the city handled that decision, whether to proceed with a sports facility at Phillips or the old fairgrounds?
Well, I'll be honest. Up front, the idea of working with the county appeals to me, bringing resources from many places together provide something larger than any one group could. However, what I'm going to say is that when we passed that parks tax, we discussed the fact, and we put it that we wrote it down, that we're going to put that facility down on the south end of town. The city council has a long history of making promises when they say they're going to do something, and then they change it halfway through. Now, a lot of people will look at that and say that's pursuing an opportunity. But what you find is that if you keep doing that again and again, the people who you need to ask for tax money look at you and go, why should I trust what you say you're going to use the tax money for? Because you keep moving it. Somebody already mentioned earlier the discussion in the last group about the sewer line that was supposed to have been out at Midway. Mike and I talked about that as a failed promise 3 years ago. There's still no sewer line out there.
We need to move to closing statements now, and we will do this in the flip-flop order of what we did with the opening statements. So, Paul Love, you get to start out, and I hope on your answer you'll talk about the leadership strengths and what you would do and accomplish through your serving Ward 2 as a council person if elected.
Well, one of the things that I really want to work on is public safety. As I've mentioned, it's become a real concern from my end. There are a few things that we can do that we can reorganize the way we fund our stuff. Last year, we cut $2.4 million out of the public safety budget. This year, we put $400,000 of it back in, but we pulled it out of roads. I'm a smaller government kind of guy. I want to focus on things that I consider to be important. That's our power, our water, our streets, and our public safety. I'm not going to promise you things that I can't deliver to you. I'm not going to promise you things that we can't afford. If you look at Lawrence, Kansas, just to the west of us, they're three-quarters our size and spend 25% more on public safety than we do. It's not that we have a shortage of money. We just spend it poorly. I'd like to encourage you that when you go to the voting booth, I want you to ask yourself a very important question. While you're there, would you rather be loved or would you rather be trapped?
All right. Michael Trapp, your closing statement.
My opponent has made so many misstatements of fact. His whole campaign has been one of personal insults and attacks. We ran against each other 3 years ago. I know he's capable of talking about the issues. We did that. It's unfortunate that it's discomforting to be able to talk about the issues and then just to sit and listen. You've seen the quality of the leadership that we bring. I have a long history of public service with dignity, with being factually correct, with being knowledgeable about the issues, with listening to stakeholders, and with dispassionately deciding issues based upon the facts, based upon the interests of the people in the Second Ward and the people in the city of Columbia. I ask you to reject this politics of destruction and to move forward with the great things that we've done together thus far. So thank you for coming out tonight, and please vote for me on April 3rd.
How about a hand for our Ward 2 candidates, Michael Trapp and Paul Love?